time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday the 29th of May. Island Life is our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 to 12 by Island, the stockist of Waiheke's most eclectic collection of local gifts, art and clothing. You'll find them in Ocean View Road, Oneroa. On May the 29th, Emma Bowell Warner talked to community gardeners Millicent and Alan, Kim from the Art Gallery, Tanya Batt about the Story Festival. She talked to Rosalie from Waiheke Library and she spoke to Neil Harding about Pat Ehrlich and V12's World Cup song.
I'd just like to welcome our first guests into the studio. Hello, Millicent and Alan.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi. So you're a part of, well, the founders, really, of the new community garden, aren't you?
Yes.
So do you want to come a little bit closer, both of you, to the microphone? That'll be super. I know it's quite difficult here, and it's quite a squash. Well, it's a good job we're all friends here, because it's we're having to get up quite close and personal, aren't we? But, tell us about how this community garden started.
The community gardens came from a vision by James Samuel and became part of the whole transition town concept.
Right.
The Surfdale garden started when I approached my neighbour, Jackie Chiano, because the back of her section was full of nasty weeds and obviously she couldn't cope with it. So I asked her if she'd like it to become a community garden.
Ah,
and she leapt at the offer.
Really?
Very happy. Yes. And she said we could do what we liked with this garden.
Oh, fantastic.
So our vision was to have a sort of mini urban food forest
right
at the top, which really means just planting a few fruit trees on the sloping part and then a garden bed below.
Okay. Oh, fantastic. So how long has it been going? How long have you been doing it? Because it's adjacent to your property, isn't it, Millicent?
It is. It's right next door to me, which is very handy. And it's been going about 18 months, I would think, is it? But it really only got going...
probably a little bit over a year.
Yeah.
A little bit over a year or so.
Yeah.
Right, right. So... what's your involvement in it, Alan?
Well, I came along, thanks to Millicent and Paul Gilligan and a number of others. They'd set about clearing away all the gorse and the nightshade and things there. And my passion is gardening, and I joined the garden group. And we were fortunate enough to receive mulch from the resource waste.
The Waste Resource
Waste
Trust.
Resource
and the transfer
Trust,
station. Yeah, I mean, that's fantastic, because, of course, that's all ended now, hasn't it?
Free mulch.
Yes, we had a lot of free mulch.
Mm.
Oh, I think probably in the future we'll be we will have free mulch, but that's a process that's underway at the moment.
Oh, right, okay, okay.
Anyhow, everybody got together. It turned up on Wednesdays, and the most fabulous thing of going there is we have a thing there called pikelet power. And Millicent, because she's the next door neighbour, she, once we've laid out the cardboard, compliments of the placemakers and the mulch over the top of it to keep all the weeds down, then we go and have pikelets at Millicent's. I mean,
fantastic.
It's a social occasion.
Yep, so five-star treatment.
Five-star treatment, yes.
Now, I've just got to confess quickly, a little aside, they sound delish. What are pikelets? Are they those little pancake things?
Mm.
Oh, yum, yes. With jam.
With jam and cream.
I'm hooked already.
And Alan was the one who really took advantage of some wonderful opportunities that just came up
to get
the garden bed going. So, Alan, would you like to talk about that?
Yes, well, we were sort of driving around there and saw...
just driving around the island?
Just driving around the island and keeping the eyes open, because to try and plant vegetables in the top of mulch and through cardboard, it was just going to be a long time before it happened. And a gentleman Mr. Gary Wilton from the Auckland City Council.
Oh, good old Gary, yes.
Yeah, marvellous man. Him and his team, we were able to source some railway sleepers from the island, which we made built-up beds, and they were excavating a lot of sand from out in Onitangi.
Right.
And they delivered it to us, and all the volunteers got in and wheelbarrowed it into place. So we've got a beautiful raised garden with a sand base now and topsoil on the top. So it's very free draining, and it grows vegetables very well.
It does. I've actually had some beautiful tomatoes from it.
Yes, we had a great crop of tomatoes, red cabbage, lettuce.
Beans
of both kinds. Peas, potatoes, and then we were given some compost after we dug the potatoes, and in this compost were butternuts and pumpkins
and squash,
and they just came up, so we had a
really?
Crop of them as well.
Fantastic. So you had also had some trees donated, didn't you?
We did. We had Brian Griffiths. Brian and Robin are sort of
they're the forest and bird people,
forest
aren't
and
they?
Bird.
Yes.
And they're very much
and
involved.
And Grow, the community garden people.
Right, yeah. Yes.
So we had some peach trees from them, and Robin Lush contributed fig trees, some beautiful white Adriatic fig trees, and we've just been able to plant them now with the droughts broken.
Yes,
so we've
thank goodness.
Got all these trees coming up for this coming year. We've had we've gathered grapevines from around the island that were being pulled out and disposed of.
They were being neglected.
Neglected.
You've recycled them.
We've recycled
it. Oh, fantastic. So you've recycled from the ground up, haven't
from
you, with
the sand
that was excavated and the sleepers and then all these plants and stuff. That's and even from the compost. I mean, that's quite savvy. Well done.
we've also got placemakers have donated a lot of pellets that were old pellets that were up for disposal for firewood, and we've put those together as compost bins, and we've done that in Park Road, three massive compost bins, and also done them in the Onitangi
Surfdale Fabulous Fruit Tree
Group,
great.
Yeah, so that when we can keep the weeds down and compost the weeds and vegetable waste and lawn clippings and
fantastic. So talk to me a little bit about the setup, because as we discussed, it is a new garden, and so obviously these things take time to establish. How what do you need? Tell me what you need.
Well, we need people to come and help us, volunteers who'd like to learn about how you make a garden,
right?
How you grow plants, food, because it's partly an educational process as well as the social process. So people would be a great asset for us.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah, that's true.
Absolutely. And a lot of people are quite sort of time precious, as that is, I think, one of the buzzwords. So talk to me about what sort of time commitment would there be? Because would there be a time commitment every single week at a dead-on time, or is it quite flexible?
Well, it's flexible to a certain extent.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Millicent can't keep making pikelets every time people turn up.
Yeah, the pikelets. Well, the pikelets are dependent. I mean, that's fair enough.
Yeah, but I mean, sometimes some people, like myself now, because I'm working Saturday for an hour or two, I feel comfortable in doing that. Some people who have times off in the week, I mean, a weekday.
There might be a job. What we're saying is that that it is quite flexible. There'll be some organisation around there, and people will be given the opportunity to say, hey, if you want to come down this week, these are the jobs that need doing. Yeah. And if you want to come down at the weekend, maybe there might be more people there at the weekend. Yeah. And for an hour or two on a Saturday or possibly a Sunday, depending on how Millicent's pikelets are going. some may come both, the greedy ones. And just to come down and just give a free pair of hands and give it a bit of a try, isn't it?
Well,
and a bit of help.
It's also a therapeutic thing to be able to put your hands in the soil or touch the soil and just wander around and look at it. I mean, For guys, if they'd like to bring a can of beer and sit there and just watch the plants grow.
Pete, don't encourage my friends. Don't encourage my friends. That's it, Alan. We're scuppered. Absolutely scuppered. I hope my male friends, I've been quite sexist there, all my friends, female and male, they're all lushes. No, not really.
And there are other community gardens too. So yeah. People don't live in the Surfdale area. Well, we hope there are a lot of you that do, but there are gardens at Onatangi, Ostend, Blackpool. Is that it?
Yes.
I think so. Do you know what we haven't talked about? Whereabouts it is and how on earth they're going to get in touch with you.
It's at 7 Park Road, Surfdale. And my phone number, I'm Millicent. My phone number's 372-2401. I'd love to hear from you.
So that's great. So if people are interested in coming along and giving some help, it's 2401 to ring Millicent. Now, the other thing, just before we wrap up, is we were just chatting off air and Alan was saying if people are digging up...
Yeah, if they're digging up... come autumn time, they're probably starting to plant their new garden. If they're lifting bulbs, gladioli's... any bulbs like that they're lifting for the winter months, or rhubarb roots, which you would normally do, so you get a better crop for the following year, or even wanting to relocate fruit trees, old fruit trees that they've had that they would like to remove to plant something new there, give us a call, because these are the sort of things that we can replant in other gardens. We'll come and lift them out and providing they're not that big that we need a high ab to do it, but we'll come and do that and we'll find a home for them.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And we'd like some bee plants, blue flowers, herbs. Yeah. Anything you've got that would suit a garden, really.
Brilliant. So it's a call out not just for help, not just for hands, but if anybody has anything they'd like to donate. Yeah. And what about tools? If anybody has any old tools as that would be a real help, I'd imagine, for getting started. Because these things, you need your tools.
We're in need of a mattock or a grub, what they term a mattock or a grubber at the moment, because a lot of the grass is being kikuyu, and it really does. It takes a bit of effort to lift it.
A grubber?
Yes.
What's a grubber?
Like it's...
a long handle and a bent.
A bent bit on the end.
She's showing me here, but you can't see that, guys.
Have you ever thought of being on television?
I've not got the face for it, don't worry.
And we do share in the harvest. The workers share. Yeah. And some goes, because of my vision, really, to feed needy families as well, to the budget service or the grow's stall at the market, which is barter and koha.
Fantastic.
Yeah, the purpose of the garden is not necessarily to grow food for ourselves to eat as much as we have a contribution, but it's to help provide for others.
It's giving to the community.
Giving to the community.
As it should do, was the original purpose of community gardens. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Oh, well, listen, thank you so much for coming in. And I do hope you come in a few months' time and let me know how it's going and let me know how the volunteers have picked up and shaped up. And so just finally, if anybody wants to check out the garden and offer some time or offer some tools or some plants, anything at all, you want to contact Millicent on 2401, and she lives at 7 Park Road. Now, if anybody forgets that because they're driving around and that comes to sort of like in a week or two's time, they go, where was that garden? Please feel free to get in touch with me here at the Waiheke radio station and leave a message for me, and I will make sure that that gets to Millicent and that your contribution is duly noted. But listen, thank you again so much for coming in. It's been great chatting with you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Opportunity.
Oh, my pleasure. And do let me know how it's going, won't you? So that was Alan and Millicent from the new community garden. I'd like to welcome our next guest into the studio. We've got Kim from the Art Gallery. Hi.
Hi there.
How are you this morning?
Good, thank you.
So how you had an opening last night for an exhibition, didn't you? So you're a busy lady at the moment.
we had a great opening. It was, for Reclaim to Fame, Fuller's Reclaim to Fame 2010 and the Waiheke Photographers Collective.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about those exhibitions. So let's talk about the Reclaim to Fame. So it's sponsored by Fuller's.
Yes, the pieces are all made up. It's curated this year by Sue Picanell again. She curated it last year.
Right.
And who's one of the vets?
Yes.
Susie Crow. Sorry, Susie. And all the pieces are made up. It's a big open show. The pieces are to be made with 80% recycled material.
Oh,
so there's
wow.
some wonderful creations. A lot of imagination and time have gone into quite a few of the pieces. And,
really? So are some of them really big?
There's a couple that are big. Yeah, yeah. There's Simon's got this amazing piece up there, which is about 6 foot tall.
Wow.
And some lovely lovely big wall work and some beautiful little pieces as well, tiny wee pieces.
Great, great. Yeah. So is it all Waiheke people that have...
A lot of Waiheke people. And
a lot of Waiheke artists. So is it all artists, that people that we'd know in the community, or have some
everybody.
New people sort of joined
new
in?
New people, yeah.
Great.
Yep.
So how many pieces are within that exhibition?
Oh, gosh. Oh.
Roughly.
Oh, a lot.
A lot. So there's a lot to see, guys, basically.
There's a lot to look at.
So what... Tell me about a couple of the pieces that stand out for you personally.
On the front of the newsletter, we've got Ian Douglas's wonderful drawers made out of wine boxes from a lot of the vineyards on the island. And he could probably make that 10 times over. And that is gorgeous, and that's quite big. That's a big piece of work. Paul Ryan's got a beautiful mother goose on the wall. There's a lot of things. In fact, I haven't had a chance properly to have a really good look around because we flat out last night.
And right.
This morning I've had a quick look around, but I need to have a really good look. I'll probably do that this afternoon when I close the doors at 4 because there's some fantastic pieces.
Yes. Yeah, I was in there yesterday and I can say I was watching a few people start to set up their pieces and clear the space, and I was like, ooh, I was a bit like a kid in a toy store, actually. I was like, ooh, I like that. Ooh, I like that. Oh, no. Oh, I really like that. That one. I do enjoy it, and I do enjoy having a walk around because it's such a friendly gallery as well, the Waiheke Community Art Gallery. It's just got such a nice feel when you go in. And all the lovely volunteers you have working in there as well are very, very friendly and approachable, and if you ask them about a certain piece, they're always happy to chat about it and stuff. They do you proud, as they say.
Thank the volunteers. That wasn't for the volunteers, because it's such a busy place. We wouldn't be able to turn 3 shows around a month, sort of thing, which is pretty much what...
Yeah, I don't know how you manage that. That's pretty full on, isn't it?
Pretty full on.
So the Reclaim to Fame, it's 80% recycled materials, and that's a great one. That's really good.
Yeah. And now, the theme for this one this year was the art of bricolage. So we've got a lot of pieces up there.
What is that for them?
Collecting. I don't know what the actual definition of it is, but it's around collecting and hoarding.
Sort of bric-a-brac, sort of knick-knacky thing, isn't it? Yeah.
And so that's what I mean. But some of the pieces up there, I've looked at them briefly, and then I've had another look at them just even this morning, and there's intricate pieces involved in them, and a lot of them take a lot of looking at, because there's one piece up there, and it's all this big knotted, lot of plastic tubing, and then you realise that it's the shower head, and there's the little wires coming out of the shower head, and it's really cool.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Yeah. So that exhibition is on until the 14th of June.
Yep.
So so really it comes down on the 14th, does it?
14th of June is the Monday.
Yes.
And so that starts coming down on the afternoon of that Monday.
Right, right. So it is a short one. So you need to get in there and have a looky see at that one. Now, I forget this sometimes. I know I probably asked you this before. Are all the pieces always for sale, or...?
Yep.
Right, okay.
Yep.
So for those people that want to go in and pick up a piece of local art, perhaps that's a good opportunity.
It's a great opportunity
to do so. Yeah. And of course there's another local exhibition going on that is very dear to my heart, the Waiheke Photographers Collective having their year. So talk me a little bit through that.
We've got that the collective exhibition goes from both galleries, the small gallery and the annex this year, and they're in various formats. So, and Shelley Wood organised this year's one, and there's some beautiful work on corrugated iron. There's some framed works. There are some unframed works, and a whole mixture of I think the theme this year was through our eyes. Through our eyes, and just some lovely work. Some images of Waiheke, but off island as well.
Yeah,
and just a really nice mixture of how these particular photographers see. See the world, really.
Absolutely, and it's a great group, very diverse group. Some of the Photographers Collective, I believe, are semi-professionals, if not professionals, and others are rank amateurs that are just starting learning how to pick up a camera, like myself would be if I were part of the group. And so to see such beautiful work coming out, because I had a look around at that exhibition yesterday as it was just been finishing set up, and it was really, really stunning. And it's so nice, personally, for me, and I'm sure for lots of other Waiheke people, to look at a photograph or look at a piece of work and go, oh, I really like that, or there's something about that I really like, and then to see the artist's name and to go, oh, I know that person.
That's
one of the great things about it being a community art gallery, I guess. And that must be so lovely for you. And I wonder, or it's something I was thinking about the other night, do you see a progression in people's work as well?
Well, I've been up there now 3 years, and certainly seen people start out and continue with their work. And what's nice too, sometimes, especially with a show like Small Things, which is another group community show, when the kids participate in those, and then... And other people they think, oh, can I exhibit in the gallery? And they do, and it's just really good, and it's part of that whole process. And of course, for me, I can't believe how quickly a year rolls round.
I know,
but you're on the other side of it too, a year's a long time. But then,
sure.
Oh, I've got to get that ready for that show. And
when I came in to see you yesterday, you couldn't believe it was a month had rolled around since we'd last spoken. But anyway, how long is the Waiheke Photographers Collective exhibition up?
That's the same. That's the same. They both finish.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So they're not too long, those. So get in there and have a look. And then, of course, you've got the new artist in residence starting.
Yes. Last night we welcomed Sarah Guppy, mm-hmm. who's the 2010 artist in residence. And so she will be doing some classes as well coming up.
Oh, right.
She starts work down at the barn. I think she's got some open days down there. There's a sign outside the barn which talks about those times.
Oh, great.
And Sarah's doing some...
Now, when you say the barn...
The barn, the art barn, which is down Karora Road.
Uh-huh.
And there's a few barns down that road. But it's basically the last barn on the left before you get to the bay, to Ofanaki Bay.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, go down and have a look.
Is it open for people to go and have a look?
I think there's some hours that Sarah will be open.
Right.
Down there for...
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure what they are, but I think that's on the sign on the outside. Or just ring the gallery during the week and find out.
Right.
They're just opposite Fossil Bay, the kindergarten there.
Oh, yes, yes.
And
yes.
Just along a wee bit. Because there's the two barns back. There's the ones with the schist around the bottom and then the one on the corner here. But literally it's the last barn on the left before you get to Ofanaki Bay.
Right.
And it's got art barn on the outside.
Oh, well.
It's got art. Yeah. Just keep going.
Yeah, keep going. I went down there the other day, actually, and kept going until I got to someone's private drive. And had to turn around and come back out again and go, I don't think I should be here. But anyway, probably some very rich person that's just blocking off the road. But we won't go there. And also you've got Waiheke Winter Arts Festival coming up.
Yes, so next weekend.
What's that?
It's the very first inaugural Waiheke Winters Arts Festival, first time ever. It's had a pretty quick run in. So how we've got the art map on the island.
Yes,
with open studios. There's some of the artists that are on that art map, but other ones as well. Some of the galleries. Over the entire 3 days of Queen's Birthday weekend, along with some of the vineyards. It's a really neat opportunity to. It's $25 a ticket per person. That gets you access to all their studios. See the artists working in the studios. They'll all be there.
Lovely.
And with all sorts of treats, sweet nibbles. There's I'm going to be making my scones and fudge and try and playing the old piano.
And where will you be then?
I'm
with
up
the fudge.
Way out Trick Hill Road.
Keep I'll be
going to
see
the top
yours.
Of Trick Hill Road. And it's wonderful. There's this is the red dot. If you see people wandering around Queen's Birthday weekend with a red dot on it. That's the motif for it, red dot, and there'll be red dot specials at some of the studios and the vineyards.
Great.
And for that $25 each, you get a map and a brochure, which acts as the ticket, and that's got lots more explanation about what's available.
So absolutely perfect if you've got guests coming over for Queen's Birthday weekend
absolutely.
And you want to take them out and show them something.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity.
To go and take part in that. And it's also giving to the community as well.
Yeah, and so that hopefully we get people here throughout the winter, why he doesn't close down in the winter.
Brilliant.
So tickets are available at the gallery. They're available at Fuller's Matetia ticket office and at Tivoli.
Great.
And there'll be a few available at the studios, I think, too.
Right.
So that people can just, if they happen to walk in, then they can buy one there.
Take part if they wish.
Yeah.
And then finally, we've got something on Matariki.
Yes, Matariki coming up. Janine Clarkin is curating the Matariki show. I can't see my glasses. And then there's also Jack Carter is curating the United Schools Matariki as well.
Right, okay. So that's coming up, when's that? Middle of June, is it?
Yeah.
End of June?
Yeah, opens Friday the 18th of June.
Right. Okay.
Showing till Monday the 12th of July.
Lovely. So, gosh, aren't you busy in there?
Okay, busy. There's a wee way off. A woman's work is never done. Responses from fibre and fashion artist Tamaran Nanga Ake. A celebration of Wahine and their dedication.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, yes, looking at traditions of weaving and just all sort of traditions and culture and stuff there. That sounds great. So you've got some brilliant, brilliant stuff going on.
Yeah.
So the Reclaim to Fame and Wahiki Photographers Collective are open at the moment. So pop along and see those. And they're open until Monday the 14th of June. Aren't they?
Yeah.
So that'd be great. And as usual, the phone number, if you've got any questions, is 9907, and it's 2 Karora Road. If you're new to the island and not sure where the gallery is, but I'm sure everybody knows where you are. So listen, Kim, thank you so much for coming in, because I know you're super busy and you had a really, really busy night last night. As always, pleasure to chat to you, and we'll be chatting next month.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for coming in.
You're listening to Island Life, Waiheke People, Events and Issues, brought to you by Island, Art, Craft, Giftware, Clothing and Bric-a-Brac, Ocean View Road, Onirua.
We are joined by the lovely, the wonderful, in a very touch-me outfit, Tanya Batts. Good morning.
Hello, Emma.
Oh my God, I think you busted the microphone then. Yeah, she's in her butch phase today. I think she's a wee bit giddy.
I am. I've just had a double shot of coffee, and I don't drink coffee very often.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, let me get you.
That was like me on the boat the other night. I had a Lindau, and I don't drink. And I got up and I went, ooh, I can feel that. And it was like one small bottle. It was like, oh, I'm a cheap date.
Were you sort of saying, oh, it's rough out here?
Yeah.
We're rolling from side to side.
Yeah. And my partner was like, no, we're not. That'd be you. Anyway, so thank you very much for coming in. I feel like a little bit of deja vu because, of course, you very kindly came into the Anything Arty show on Thursday night when we eventually managed to get the doors open, that is.
That was an exciting adventure, wasn't it?
It was. And thank you to Chris for coming in and letting us in. It wasn't that I'd forgotten my keys, I hasten to add, because I'm making myself sound like a real dork here. I was genuinely locked out because somebody had bolted something. But, it's not that I'm making excuses or blaming anybody else, but it wasn't me.
Do you think they have problems like that, like at TV1 and things like that?
Yeah, I reckon, the presenters get there 15 minutes before the show starts and everything's locked out. Yeah, but apparently I heard a story that somebody was locked in one of the studios down here very recently.
Oh, yes, that was Rose, and she did look slightly hysterical.
I think you would if you thought you were going to have to spend the night there.
It's not nice being locked in. I got locked in my story truck.
No.
On Papamoa Beach.
Oh, come on. We've got to have that story. How did that happen?
Well, it still remains a mystery. I think it was the lock gremlins. But 9:30 at night, when you go to do that last little visit before you tuck yourself up in bed.
Uh-huh.
And you start off casually, you just do the kind of turn the handle.
Yep.
Doesn't open. You think, oh, a bit odd. Turn. Still doesn't open. Dun, 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 dun. Must look very funny from the outside, watching the frantic movement on the end on the other side. It just gone bung, really. And it's really fortunate because I was away touring with the musician I work with, Craig Denham, and he's really long and lanky. So he was actually able to climb out the window, which is a good couple of metres up off the ground. I wouldn't have managed it with my short little legs, and go around the other side. And between the two of us, half an hour later.
No way, really?
I tell you. I'm glad it wasn't in the middle of the night when I can be urgent to get to the loo.
Well, I was just about to say, and you don't have a bathroom in there. That would be my immediate worry. Oh, God. This could be awkward, especially if there's a member of the opposite sex locked in with me.
That's right. That you're not on intimate... say no more.
Say no more. We're a bit earlier than we were the other day,
right.
So we need to keep it clean. Unfortunately, something happens when Tanya and I get together and we suddenly go into very rude, naughty schoolgirls. Not sure how that happens, but anyway... So, you were locked in, and as happened the other day for somebody else who shall remain nameless, who works at the radio station.
I've got a good join in now, so don't be locked out next weekend.
Oh,
nobody will be locked out next weekend because it's a come ye everybody type sort of
situation. So what's happening next weekend, Tanya?
I wonder. I wonder, be the Festival of Story, I think.
Would it really?
It's the Queen's birthday weekend.
Oh, good old Queenie.
Yeah.
Good old, don't we just love her? Isn't it funny?
Who wants to get rid of the monarchy when we get public holidays? Well,
you do here, but not back in the UK where we've actually got the flipping queen. We don't.
Our novelty wears off.
You know, we actually have... No, but we have to live with her.
Yeah.
And then we don't even get a day's holiday. I mean, that doesn't really seem fair to me.
Yeah, but you didn't have to be colonised.
No, okay.
This is, you know, the long-term compensation for colonisation. Yeah, holiday.
Yeah, you should have a month off, really, shouldn't you? You've got to put up with all those bloody Brits coming over.
Considering I must be part of that. Oh. Bits of something.
Oh, right, okay. Well, won't ask. So let's talk about next weekend. Let's talk about why you're actually... As much as I would just love to spend the whole rest of the show as chatting absolute rubbish yet again, why are you here again?
What are you
doing?
Can't
get rid of her. She turns up at my house. She turns up everywhere. You know, I try to go to work. She's there going, don't leave me.
That's right. Stalked by a storyteller. And next weekend you will be stalked by stories on Waiheke Island because wherever you go, there'll be a story waiting for you.
There'll be a story waiting specially for you.
That's right. And we'll be kicking it off on Friday night up here at Artworks, which is really the HQ of the Story Festival and has been ever since its conception.
The HQ?
Yeah.
Very nice.
Well, it's the cultural hub, isn't it?
It is, yes.
It's like our castle.
If
we were a kind of monarchy, we would have a castle here,
yeah,
I think.
And then we'd need a king and a queen, wouldn't we?
Ooh, should we have phone-ins?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good.
If you were the queen of Waiheke, Emmy, what would your first decree be?
My first decree would be free chocolate to all. Not chilli chocolate that you tried to force down my neck the other night and nearly killed me. No, it would be Whittaker's palm oil free chocolate.
An ethical queen, I like it.
Yeah, I'd be very ethical. And it would be, do you know what? I could actually get going on this.
Oh, look, eyes are lighting up. You can't see it. You can imagine it.
Yeah, so will the switchboard soon. Shut up. I would have free chocolate for all. Free transport for all the time, sort of like little cars going around to pick up all the elderly, and community. I'm really into community gardens at the moment, so there'd be community gardens set up in everybody's garden that wanted one, and people would go around and help each other.
Would that just be for growing chocolate?
The cacao tree.
Yeah.
Oh, I went to a lecture on that the other day, and all I could think of the whole lecture was, and it was a really scientific, heavy duty thing about yield and all sorts of farmers' livelihood in these weird and wonderful places. Didn't listen to a word of that. All I was listening to was the chocolate bits, and I was into on this little fantasy, and I was supposed to be making notes on it because I've got to write a paper on it, and all I can remember is the bits about the chocolate.
So you got home and all that was written on your piece of paper was king size slab.
Chocky. Yeah, so may have to borrow somebody else's notes for that one.
Well, but you know, Emma, you could be the queen of Waiheke next weekend.
Oh, could I really?
You could because I have to tell you, we've got this, and we've just been assembling it last night. I might let you come up for a peek.
Oh.
The Waiheke Wheel of Queen. It has been assembled. And this I'm just so excited. It's probably one of the things I'm really excited about.
I can tell. You are really excited.
You can see me. It's an interactive arts installation, and we've had various people create queens, and they're magnificent, the queens.
Oh, fantastic. So who have you had create queens?
Well, we've had Jane from Island Coffee. She's created the Queen of Coffee, who would be my reigning queen at the moment.
Fab. Yes, because you just had a double shot.
Just had a double shot. That'll keep me going all weekend. We've got the Queen of Recycling. She is divine.
Oh,
and she was made by Gwendolyn. Oh, she's gorgeous. And then we've got Queen Mab. Queen Mab riding in her walnut shell, drawn by a, what do you call them? Steeds, moth steeds. That was made by Justin Bieber from Otherworld.
Oh, great.
Got the Queen of Hearts, a beautiful collage created with the help of the lovely Lyndall Jeffries with new entrant class from Waiheke Primary. We've got the Dragon Queen, created with Jennifer Fountain, with the children from the after-school care program.
Fab.
And we have the, let me think, what other queens are there? Oh, yes, the QE2.
The QE2.
The QE2, I love it.
Who's done that one?
Well, it's a man's take on a queen.
Yeah,
that's
a surprise.
Matthew Muir.
Yeah. Oh, excellent.
And so that's for the wretched.
How's that going to fit in with this? Because we keep digressing.
I know,
this.
We keep...
Let's focus. Get back to focus.
Focus.
Storytelling festival.
Well, this is part of the festival.
I know it is.
Yes.
But how is it?
Well, it's this beautiful... collection of queens is assembled on a great big roulette wheel, which will be touring with us throughout the weekend.
Fab.
Now, we've got various groups in the community who are staffing the wheel, mm-hmm. and as the public, you get to come and buy a queen.
Oh.
Select a queen on the... you only get to buy it for short term.
Right.
You can't have it forever.
Yeah, you don't get to take it home, kids.
No. Though we do have a silent auction running on the queen pieces all weekend, so you could in the long run take them
Yes.
home. But in terms of a game, you buy your queen on the wheel. The wheel is spun. And if it stops on your queen, you win... for an Andy Warhol period of time, the title of Queen of Waiheke.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my, I've got to come and do that.
You do, because not only might it entail chocolate, should you decree, but Helen Bacon, who's the festival artist, who's done all the wonderful artwork that we see sprouting around all over the island, has made this glorious processional throne.
Oh, loving it.
You get to ride and be carried around by four slaves. Thing about monarchy, it's built on, you know,
unsustainable
sort of mixed
things.
Anyway,
that's right.
Yeah. So, four slaves to carry you around, and look at that.
Oh, do you know, I've gone all giddy.
I'll buy all the queens on the wheel.
Yeah, I'm going to assassinate anybody else that wants to go near. Yeah. Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. So you get carried around. I mean, that's my kind of heaven, chocolate and carried around by my helpers, shall we say. Let's leave the word slaves. But, you know, that's fine. We can talk about that. That'd be great.
Yeah.
So let's talk about how people get involved, how children and families get involved with the festival. Because, of course, there is the wonderful Waiheke passport, isn't there?
I saw your eyes straying across to
here
it is, stroking the silky cover. I tell you, these are going like hotcakes. I've just been down at the market, and they're a fabulous little document. We've always needed our own passport, haven't we? Because we're a special kind of place.
We are the Republic of Waiheke.
The Republic of Waiheke, mm-hmm. with our rooster.
That's our rooster.
That's right. It was a rooster in case you didn't get that noise. So this is the key to this year's festival. And cheaper than most passports. I don't know what you fork out for a passport these days. It's a couple hundred dollars.
Hundreds.
$10.
$10.
And you can go anywhere, because that's the joy of story. You can go anywhere on your imagination.
Great.
Yeah. For $10, you can...
So what do they get? Let's talk about the passport.
What do they get?
Yeah, I want to know how it works.
Okay, there's 25 tasks that you can actually complete over the course of... That's right, it's a story marathon. Mm. You don't have to complete all 25, I should say. there won't be any punishment, no execution if you haven't done it by the end of the weekend.
Oh, really? No imprisonment?
No imprisonment.
Locked in the tower or
I know,
anything.
That's very monarchy, but
yes.
No.
Okay.
So over the course of the weekend, coming to venues... just turning up sometimes can get you a stamp, because that's the whole idea. When you have a passport, you want stamps.
Mm.
So the idea is to earn your stamps over the course of the weekend.
And some of them, there are tasks, aren't there, when you go to places?
That's right.
So let's talk about the age group for the children. If I've got kids at home, what sort of age would you say would be interested and would find this sort of a fun thing to do?
Oh, so I'd say from 4 till 90.
I'm sorted then.
Okay. No, well, it's really designed...
4 to 12, was it?
Yeah, 4 to 12. But honestly, I think there are a lot of grown-ups out there who would secretly like a passport of their own.
Well, we talked about this the other night, and I'm actually going to try and steal, borrow, kidnap somebody else's children so that I can play.
You can play. It is. It's a matter of playing, and it's going to be a really good fun game. We've got wonderful passport officers, little officious types who like stamping, who are going to be with us throughout the weekend in fabulous costumes. And you'll be able to bring your passport in and demonstrate the tasks that you have completed. Some of them are self-guiding tasks, so you can do them at home. Other tasks, you do need to come to events in order to complete the activities.
Right.
And for each activity you complete, you get a special stamp, 10 stamps, and you win a badge of story.
And I have been lucky enough to see these badges of story, and I can tell you, kids, they're well worth having.
That's
I want one.
You want 10.
I do. I'm greedy like that.
That's right. So, you come in and all those stamping and collecting of badges with the passport office, which will be traveling with us to all the venues as well.
Great. Now, of course, people don't have to, you don't have to get all 25, as we said, and people can dip in and out, because of course if you've got little ones, it's going to be quite tiring sort of getting up at whatever time in the morning, going out. So you can just dip in and out as you wish. There's no set format of where you have to go. You just pick the places that you would like to go to and either do the challenge or get the stamp or get the stamp for turning up. So either way, you want to make sure you've got your stamp before you leave the place. There's lots and lots of people to do, isn't there? Let's talk about a couple of the places where people might be going.
Well, I was going to say, if you wanted to maximise an outing in order to get stamps, I would come here on the Sunday morning from 10 to 1, because Artworks will turn into Story Central.
Oh, fab.
All the venues here at Artworks, the cinema, the library, the gallery, the music museum, the Stories Centre.
Waste Resource Trust.
The radio station. The courtyard. Everyone will have a story task for you to complete.
Mm.
So look, you could get your 10 stamps here.
Great.
You could.
So if you can only come on the Sunday, that's fine.
That would be
But let's talk about the Friday night thing, because I'm quite excited about that as well.
Ever since I mentioned that leopard skin costume. Have you had any discussions about that?
Oh, we may have done. I'm like, can I come with the camera?
Yes, Friday night, that's our grand opening, and we've got a fabulous lineup of both international and local guests performing.
Cool.
It's a dress up occasion.
Yeah.
In fact, 3.5 days, you can just dress up for the entire
Friday night is a dress up as
Yes, kings, queens, princes, princesses, knights, slaves, servants. Just whatever dress up you've got, we're flexible.
Yeah, keep it clean, family show though, keep it clean.
I think we'll have spot prizes for dressing up.
Great.
I'm very fond of giving away spot prizes for dressing up.
Great.
I like dresser-upperers.
Yeah, me too. Mm. So that's the Friday night, and that's on at the Artworks from 6:30, is it?
Yes, and people do need... I need to stress this, because aside from the Friday night evening, which is a paid and ticketed event, all the other events are free. We do really encourage people to buy a passport, because it'll be so much more fun coming to the events. But the Friday night, you do need to book. They have been sold out on previous years, our opening night, and we're probably already half sold already. So you do need to either pop into the Story Centre or hop online to onceuponanisland.info and book online, because I don't know if there'll be tickets available on the night, but I'd hate you to miss out. Hate you to turn up with your children and then you see their sad faces when there isn't a ticket. So please
try and do book ahead.
Be an onto it parent.
Yeah. If you're planning on coming, you really do need to book because there's the wonderful puppet theatre you've got going there.
That's right, coming out from Australia, About Face Productions. It's with their wonderful pop-up puppet book.
Yeah.
We're practising that one. and we've got In a Groove, drumming and storytelling.
Yeah. Hence the leopard skin outfit, which
no doubt many of you are intrigued about, and we'll come along just for that one.
Yeah, just something for the mums. Something for the mums. That's all I'm going to say.
And then Craig and I will be strutting our stuff up there as well. Otherworld Productions are all coming up in costume.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be fantastic. I am so looking forward to it. Yeah, I really am.
Me too.
It's going to be great. So let's just have a quick recap. To buy the passport, where can you get the passport from?
Take Note, Waiheke Fruit and Veg, the Waiheke Community Library, Story Centre, and Te Huarahi and Waiheke Primary School offices.
So tons and tons of places. And they are how much?
They are $10. Can you believe
$10? Honestly, they're... they're fantastic as well. They're really good. There's lots and lots for if you're a family, there's lots and lots for your children to do in there. I would say, having seen that, if I had two kids, I would probably get two passports, just because there's lots of I would do this and I would do that kind of tasks in there. So, and that whole sense of ownership and sense of fun and competition, if you're anything like me and my siblings, as well, for getting stuff done.
Anyway, I think I don't even think even babies are allowed to share their parents' passports anymore, are they?
No,
I think you've all got to have one of your own.
You all have to have one of your own. Mm. And there are only a limited amount of those as well.
That's right.
I need to stress that.
Sadly, when they're gone.
Yeah, when they're gone, they're gone. Yeah. Mm. So you really need to, to be a switched on parent for this if you want your kids to take part. But yeah, that's great. So that's next Friday. If they want tickets for the Friday night, that's the only other part of the weekend that you have to pay for. It's a ticketed event.
That's
so
right.
So they need to come to...
They can either go online to book or they can pop into the Story Centre.
Great. And that's the $25, was it, for that?
$30 for a family. And great. $10 per person.
Oh!
We try to keep everything really reasonable.
Really
and
cheap.
That is because we've had some very generous funding. People like the Waiheke Community Board, Creative Communities,
Fab.
Auckland City Council, the ARC, Rotary. They've all been wonderful supporters, along with local business here on the island.
Great.
And we're very grateful for their support.
Yeah, absolutely. And wish you all the best with it. I know I'll be borrowing some children to come along and take part.
Emma?
Yeah?
You need to give me back that passport.
And I want it. You said I could keep it if I was nice to you.
Nobody gets their passport until next Friday.
No, please, I want to keep it. Don't hit me. Don't take it. Oh, she's bullying me. Right, okay, time for a bit more music, and I might just have to give this passport back, I guess. Welcome, Rosalie. We've got Rosalie in from Waiheke Library in today. Hi, how are you?
Oh, very good. It's a wonderful, wonderful Waiheke morning. It beautiful
is.
Sunshine after that delicious rain. But it can stop now. We've had quite enough and it's lovely to see the sun again.
It is. So what have you come in to talk about? Some book
New
awards?
New Zealand Post Children's Book Awards. I have mentioned these before that they were coming up.
Yep.
And so this has been my first opportunity. So apologies to those people who already know. But isn't it great? Janet Hunt won again with the non-fiction 2010 winner. Her E3 Call Home is just a delightful little book.
Is it?
And it just shows the migration of these birds. I mean, it was that book.
Right.
Yes, right.
Yes.
They put little radio transmitters on several of the birds and E3 got lost and they didn't know what happened. And then suddenly she arrived again, you know, sort of. But another one went miles out of the area that they thought a bird would go. And it's just so extraordinary to know that these are our birds that fly to the other side of the earth.
I know.
Just amazing.
It's amazing how when you look at how far they go and you actually look at some of the stories around them, where people that have seen them and stuff. Oh, wonderful. Oh, I'm glad it was
with Janet. Even if she's left us for the oil-rich shores of Taranaki. But
I know. Yes, we won't. We still hold her to our own.
Yes. And then the junior fiction was the strange and diverting story of The Loblolly Boy, a fantasy novel. And I had read that and I thought, oh, this is so different. It's about a boy who's given a train and then his father is married again and all sorts of breakup go on. Then next you see a boy who's in an orphanage and everything is grim and dark and he just wishes he could get away, and a strange little boy appears and he thinks this boy has wings and he says, well, I'm the Loblolly Boy. And so he wishes that he could fly away too. And that begins a whole series of the story. So quite a diverting story, as they say. Other one I really do want to mention is Old Hoo Hoo. And quite often, children have to experience death of grandparents, death of a puppy, death. And it's very hard sometimes for parents to explain it. Well, this is such a beautifully exquisite, tender book about Old Hoo Hoo is an insect and he flies up to the moon and then he falls down. And his nephew wonders what's happened. And so this is a story of death in just a very beautifully told way. So I think it's absolutely wonderful, and it's New Zealand Post Book of the Year and Picture Book
2010 winner. But the fact that his book of Enemy meant that other people spotted it for being so good too. The other one I love, and all our children do here that have been to Storytime, is The Wonky Donkey.
The Wonky Donkey.
The Wonky Donkey. It's a brilliant song poem book, and I'm so delighted that that got the Children's Choice winner. Aww. And not at all surprised. But that's all we have time for. An honour award went to Margaret Mahey for her magical verse. I'm so pleased. I remember talking to Margaret about probably 20 years ago, and she'd written some verse, and I just loved it. And so she's put together a compilation of some of her verse, and it's just magical to have it all together. So she won a special honour award. So that's fantastic. It, folks.
Wow, that was brief, Rosalie. Lovely. Thank you very much for popping in, and thank you for updating us with that. And look forward to hearing next time, because we're going to be chatting next time about the Readers and Writers Festival.
That would be
some
good.
Interesting stories to tell about that, I'm sure. Okay, well, thank you very much. Lovely to speak to you. See you next month, Rosalie. Now, I'd just like to welcome James to the studio. Hi, James.
Good morning, Emma. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you today?
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad.
So, James, you're here. He's your resident gardener from Greenscapes.
That's right, Green Space Landscapes. And I'm basically here this morning, as with other months, looking at what to do in the garden generally, maybe some different aspects of your garden you might want to think about, certainly this month, and just looking at some planting suggestions, and also just looking at just sort of generally any questions that people might have. I do have a question and a possible answer. So,
great,
yeah.
Great. Okay, so thank goodness for the rain we've had this week. How fantastic has that been?
Mm. Oh, no, the rain's been great. We've had quite a deluge this week. So, and you can literally see the grass turning to what we like is a bit of a better shade of green, and hopefully with the fertilizer and so forth you've been putting in different parts of the garden, that certainly will be watering in quite well.
Excellent. So what are your tips for June then? Let's get on to June, shall we?
I thought there's as you probably realise, fellow gardeners, it is a really big month through May, and now June's arriving. Things tend to slow down a little. You might be keeping on top of your weeds. They certainly start to come through with the broadleaf. But really, when you're thinking in June, you're reviewing your garden. You're looking sort of at trying to just get on top of how you want your garden to be laid out for spring.
Oh yeah, so you're looking at me as if I know what you're talking about, and really think about it, you know I don't. So let's say we're looking at what needs to be done for June. So. Just imagine I know nothing.
Okay.
And and you're speaking to a bit of a gardening numpty. Okay. Just for imagination's sake. What would you say needs to be done then?
Okay, well if you're looking at the vegetable garden first of all, I would certainly look at planting a few more cabbages, more green leafed type vegetables.
So what, my lettuces?
Yes.
Lettuces at this time of year?
You could almost try a lettuce or two. Your onions, Chinese lettuce seems to be.
They're quite hardier,
well,
aren't they?
Yeah. But remember, if you've got less than 6 hours of sunlight on your vegetable garden, you'll find and in the winter that diminishes to about maybe a couple of hours, then you're certainly going to find your growth slowing considerably.
Right. Okay. Mm. Okay. So what green vegetables would you recommend? Green leafed, did you say?
Certainly, you could plant your cabbage, cauliflower, lettuce, and obviously there's some harvesting going on still, and you could look at your broccoli, your celery and parsnips and potatoes. So I'm thinking roast dinners, really.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking roast dinners round at yours. Absolutely. Those kind of veggies. Great.
But if you're thinking more about the ornamentals of the garden, certainly planting your lilies and your roses could happen now.
Oh, okay. You see, I'd have thought it was too wet, but this, what do I know? Oh, well, I mean, that it should be too wet in winter, but this is the right time, is it, for planting? Great.
It is the right time, and this time of year, is thankfully, the rains have come, and I've got a lot more planting sort of lining up between June, July and August. So, I think it is a misconception that that planting occurs in the spring and the summer. And, and that, I mean, it does to a point, but certainly this time of year is where things certainly can be watered in quite well. And you know, the digging's a lot more easier too.
Well, so, yeah, that's what I'm thinking, absolutely. It's sort of easier to, because during the summer you can't really be, on a lot of our properties, unless you've got a raised bed and stuff. I mean, it's so hard to dig anything, isn't it?
Well, it's like concrete, it really is. So definitely this time of year. I've got a book, actually, that I found the other day. I'm continuously looking around for things to help me with my business and my knowledge. And I noticed down at the local bookshop there, at Take Note, I think, in Onirua, they've got a book here by Andrew Crowe, and it's called Which Native Plant Can I Grow Here?
Oh, I know this book. Somebody lent it to me last year. It's a fantastic book, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean,
it really is for people that don't know what would work where, because I was trying to look at this last year. Absolutely.
And certainly with a lot of we have, you know, two rather large nurseries on the island, and they can certainly help you out with providing you with native plants to put in,
and presumably with a bit of advice as well.
Absolutely. You know, you've got Ivan down in Onitangi on the road there at Waiheke Natives, and also I think Rob Mortimer over in Awaroa, over the back on the way to Stony Batter, and they're always very helpful with planting.
Right,
advice.
With what you can go. But that book, just give us the name of that again, James.
It's literally called Which Native Plant Can I Grow Here? By Andrew Crowe.
And that's you can actually buy that at Take Note.
Yeah, I think there is another copy there, but certainly you can get it in most bookshops.
Bookstores, yeah.
So I've probably just given Andrew Crowe a bit of a promotion there, but I think it's quite a very simple book. It has a key, so you'll go to a plant and you'll say, well, oh gosh, I want to grow a Cryptosporidium repens, which is a mirror plant, and then you'll look across and it'll say, well, it can be planted in sort of semi-clay soil. It can handle the wind, it can handle the shade, it can handle the sun, and then you can simply, and also it can handle, you know, sort of a cooler temperature. So you could probably plant that, match that to your site quite easily if you have those sorts of conditions.
Excellent. Oh, that's great. Thank you, James. Now, did we have any questions this month come through? How many have you picked?
Well, I've just picked one out.
Okay.
Because of time and
yes,
what
of
have
course.
You. But we're sort of
nearer to the mic.
No. Sorry about that. Okay. Yeah, so we're just asking. Someone was asking me the other day. They have a very shady site. They have a steep bank. They have basically a very hard place to plant something. And
as many of the properties are on Waiheke, unfortunately. Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, and. But certainly there are some plants out there that can help you, and one in particular, looking at is called jasmine, is Tracheospermum jasminoides, if you want the botanical name for that, and that's quite a tongue twister at times. But really, it is a really good ground cover, as well as a shrub. It's very trainable.
Oh, it is. Yeah, so I had jasmine plants in over a trellis fence when I lived in the UK, and it was, instead of having like a hedge, really, it was fantastic. And they're quite quick as well to spread, aren't they?
They are. They make you feel like a very good gardener.
Yeah.
So, And you have a late summer, early autumn smell of the flowers. Mm. Some people love it. Not everybody loves that smell, but it can bring a lovely fragrance to your garden, as opposed to some of the other plants where you know, you sort of don't get a lot of smell, but a lot of look. So you get the look as well as the smell.
Yeah, and there's lots of different types of jasmine, aren't there? I think I had two different plants growing, so I had two different colours and different types of flowers that would come out.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, the one I'm thinking of is the star jasmine. So you get basically you get the it's called that because the flower is shaped like a star.
They're white, and they've got a pink edge or something.
I think you can get some different hybrid colours, but certainly the one I'm thinking of, it certainly just comes out with a white flower. But really, if you plant these en masse, if you give them, you know, maybe a couple of months in the ground, you give them a late autumn trim, they'll come back and they'll keep coming back, and you can end up with quite an amazing coverage over a very barren piece of land.
Great. So you're actually advocating having them covering, not growing up, but going down, sort of covering the land.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm. Okay.
So depending on how much time you've got and how you want it to be shaped, you can shape it like a shrub, or you can get it to climb up the side of a wall. You can espalier it, which
espalier it. What does that mean?
Espalier means to basically train it on a wall, you can quite a specific training. So you can make patterns, and you can take some parts of the plant and grow it out to a point, and then you take another part of the plant and just keep that growing, and you've always, it's almost a bit sort of like topiary, where you it's quite a careful sort of,
right, so it's quite precise, and a little bit more formalised than just letting it grow rampantly, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yep. Okay, so we just had one question this month that we were going to focus on, weren't we? So the jasmine.
Yeah, that's right. And certainly with the other aspect of the month is the pruning of a lot of fruit trees this month. So
right.
And someone did ask me that, and really just think of the three Ds.
Three Ds.
Very simply, if it's dead, trim it off. If it's diseased, certainly trim it off. Certainly if you can't throw a hat through your tree, then obviously it needs to be thinned out. I'm sort of thinking...
So it's dense, that's the other day. I was just thinking, hat, how's that going to... Dense, yes, a bit like me this morning.
Yeah. Or you could think of it as dead, dying or diseased, like that.
Dead, dying or diseased,
so,
nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, this certainly is a good month to get someone... If you don't feel confident about pruning, because I know a lot of people don't feel confident about pruning, it's certainly a time of year to get somebody in to do your stone fruit trees.
Yeah. Right, okay. Oh, well, thanks very much for coming in, James. Lots
no problem.
Of excellent advice, as always, and look forward to our session next month. To wrap up the show for today, we have an interview that I pre-recorded yesterday with Neil Harding, talking about Pat Ehrlich's song for the Rugby World Cup, his song All on the Same Side. So, have a listen to this, and then I'll just come along and say goodbye at the end. And I'm very pleased to say, joining us in the studio today, we have Neil Harding. Hi, Neil.
Hi, Emma.
And Neil, you're here to talk to us about the collaboration for with V12 and Pat. How do I pronounce his name?
Ehrlich.
With V12 and Pat Ehrlich on the song for the Rugby World Cup. We're all on the same side.
That's right.
I've got to tell you, I love that song. I mean, I'm not being sycophantic here. I actually really genuinely love it. I was flicked it on an email. I think it was you, actually, that sent it to me one evening. And within half an hour, I'd got my partner in. I'd posted it to several other people and posted it to somebody in the UK to go, look how great we are here on Waiheke. It's just amazing. It is a really, really great song. So tell me a little bit about it. I mean, so it's a collaboration between the two, Pat and V12, but he coordinates V12.
Pat's
already,
the chorister.
Doesn't he?
Pat yeah. has organised the choir V12 end of 2008. Probably the history of V12 is more to do with Sister Shout, the female a cappella choir on Waiheke.
In what way? How do you mean it's more to do with that?
Well, they inspired us to want to put together a men's choir.
Right, so you thought if the girls can do it, we can do better, did you?
No.
No.
They've raised the bar. The bar is high.
Yes,
so,
it is.
So certainly we're looking to represent our gender.
Oh, so tactfully put, Neil. Very tactful.
And so,
he's giggling here, by the way.
Yeah, quietly. Pat has an amazing gift, incredibly
yes.
musically talented.
Yes.
Has a good pedigree, comes from a wonderful singing family.
Mm.
And it's an absolute privilege to be part of his choir, and the way he does things is really wonderful. The way we learn music and sing, it's something
so?
I look
Why?
Forward to. It's we don't have a score, we have a lyric sheet.
Right.
Pat has things worked out how he wants to do them, and we just sort of layer things down and put it together. And
right, so he's got the idea in his head already, but he's really good at communicating that,
yeah.
is he?
And he's got an amazing way of arranging things, and everything that he does seems to be original. He's not listening to versions of who's done this and what's done what. And
he's got a true talent.
Real talent.
Yeah, and he's not copy. He's not one of those sort of pop idol things where they mimic other singers.
No, and we don't have a score. We just sort of feel it and sing it. And when we learn our part, you know, each time I go back, I'm thinking, man, what's my part on this one? And it just seems to...
It just flows.
It just sort of happens, it comes back. And
wow.
It's a really interesting...
It's an interesting way. Very much so.
But it's all about really feeling the music.
Yeah.
More than reading a score.
So I'd say that's probably much more of an organic way of learning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know when I've sung before, and I'll tell you now, I'm no good at it. But when I had years of singing lessons before and during drama school, we had to do it. And I found following a musical score sort of kind of useless because I didn't really read music, and I would try and have to remember it from the lyrics and from different bits, which was quite a hard way to do it. But I guess you then start to feel the music a little bit more naturally. I suppose if you're doing it the way you guys do it, where you just have the lyrics.
Well, there's no score to help you, so
yeah.
It's all you've got.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So how many of you are in V12?
There's about 20. We had a recent intake of another 3 or 4.
There's 20?
It's about 20. We're growing. So,
oh, my goodness. I had no idea. I thought there was about 6 or 7 of you.
No. There's about 20. And
wow.
So we have... it just gives us a little bit more depth.
Yes.
A depth of sound. It also gives us some reserves,
sure.
so to speak, in each of the sections, that if someone's unavailable... We've still got enough presence in that section to
be able to make
to
the songs
maintain
work.
That sound and that balance. The actual song was a song that Pat wrote in 2002 on a CD that he released, and
was it called the same thing then?
The album's all on the same side, and it was sort of the lead song on that album, And I heard this. I actually found this CD in a second hand shop on Devonport Wharf, and it was $6, and Dido was $5, and Hunters and Collectors was $4. So I had to pay
excellent.
A premium for the CD
that
only 200 made. And I just loved it. And I heard this song, and I'm thinking, wow, this song would be an amazing anthem. It felt and sounded a little bit dated. Sort of an 80s sort of...
Right, okay, mixture.
Sort of mixture, and there was a rap that he put in the middle that didn't really work, I felt. So I sort of, with Pat and other members of V12, we have sort of...
You've really contemporised it, yeah.
Look, actually, this arrangement's purely Pat's. But it's basically, there's a group of us that have really got behind Pat and said, Pat, come on, mate.
Yep, let's get going.
Get your talent, get this fired up, and given him a little bit of motivation to really take this the next step. And so the lyrics have evolved. I think the lyrics are much more complete
than
what they were before. The lyrics have changed. there's a different, a new bridge that he's brought in, got rid of the rap thing, brought in a different different bridge, and I think the song is really, really good. And
I think, as well,
from a World Cup perspective, as far as an anthem is concerned, I think it's a tick in all the boxes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a perfect time to have a little break, and we'll have a listen to the song, and then we'll come back and chat some more. I'm chatting with Neil, and we're talking about Pat Ehrlich's song, All on the Same Side. Have a listen and see what you think.
The time has come for you and me to be at one, to come together, least until this race is run. And I believe we can show this world how it's done. From the hills and the plains, from the towns and the cities, celebrating our love for the one place we all know as home. And we know the journey's long, the mountain high, but we're gonna climb until we touch the sky.
So I'm back in the studio now with Neil, and that was great. I really enjoyed that song. It's wonderful. And if you get a chance, it's actually on YouTube, isn't it?
Yes.
With a brilliant video. Where did you record that video?
So we did that up at Whittaker's. So they were kind enough to open up one Sunday night for us, and we met up there and utilised their facilities to get some video input to go with the recording.
I love it. I love it. And all those faces on there as well. So let's talk about who else is involved, because it's not just Pat and you guys with V12, is it?
Exactly. So we invited some of the sisters from Sister Shout to join us in the recording, and also Pat's daughters, Phil and Moira, who Phil's in V12 as well, their daughter Hannah. A couple of the other NCA girls from the music program at the high school joined us, and we recorded the song at over in town at Lab Studios, and
yeah, because it has got a very professional finish.
Yeah, well, it's cost a few thousand dollars to record it, and then we wanted some video input, so we approached Baz Katchen, and he kindly lent us the cameras to record it and to video it. And through that process, we were able to get some video images, which he did all the editing for. And he's a good
man. It's very slick, yeah.
And really good at Baz to do that. He's
always a good guy.
He's a good guy, yeah. And so with this video now, we're able to put it on YouTube, and now we're encouraging people to look at the link. The link is when you go onto YouTube, if you type in Pat Ehrlich,
it'll come up
all on the same side as the sort of the lead clip that goes with that.
Yep.
And obviously looking at getting some I Like hits on it.
Yes. Absolutely. So let's talk about
it.
Yeah, if you do like it, which I'm sure you will. And who else in the island? Because I recognise tons of faces. And that was actually a really neat thing when I was watching the video, going, oh, he's in it. Oh, she's there. Oh, he's there. It was actually, we kind of played spot the face at our house when we were looking at it. I saw all sorts of people there, some of whom I didn't even recognise, and my partner did, so he pointed out who they were, and it was kind of neat, actually, from a Waiheke perspective as well.
From a Waiheke perspective, there's a lot of people.
Yeah. And you've written, there's a new bit in it we were chatting about the other night. Used somebody on guitar, was it Mano
Pratt? He's done some electric guitar, which actually isn't on the YouTube video.
No,
that's on the
it's on the version
on the
that
version
we just played.
Yes.
Yeah,
and so that's in addition to that. So we see this song being re-recorded. If it is to go further, we'll probably be re-recorded.
Yes,
and probably start from scratch.
Well, I guess the...
Maybe parts of it, maybe the whole thing. That'll be
Best
decision.
Yeah, it would be sort of keep evolving. So so what is the process with the World Cup? Do you know? Is there anything
that's set?
Because this was in response to Sunday Live, or what's one of the TV shows or something?
No, we were doing this anyway.
Ah.
It's just sort of happened.
We actually
saw that Close Up came up with something first.
That's it, Close Up, yeah.
And Martin Sneddon, the CEO of New Zealand Rugby, was sort of saying that the current feelers take on that Right Here, Right Now sort of song is not the official song that they will be looking. They haven't made a decision as to the official anthem that they're going to be using. And so we were in the process of actually doing something anyway. So we got the recording version done, and then Pat rang up Close Up, and which they just sort of hung up and said he was too late. So it was like, oh, it's interesting. So we've gone through our own path direct to World Cup, Rugby World Cup, and also as Phil Judd organised, sent an email of the YouTube clip to Nightline a couple of Mondays ago, and they played it on Nightline on the late news, most of the song.
Great.
And it's now part of a competition that TV3 are running, and on the 9th of July we find out who the winner of their competition will be. Whether or not, how that fits into Rugby World Cup, I'm not sure. But the main thing is that the song is there, and it's part of the mix when they're making the decision. They
should
have
absolutely.
It there, and if it's good enough, it'll carry itself, and if it's not, then that's fine, and we have no expectation on that, but I'm quietly confident.
Yeah, I think you've got every right to be, actually.
I saw a vision of this song when I first heard it. I thought I could see the song had the potential to be...
To go somewhere.
Things just seem to be evolving.
How does Pat feel about it? Is he really excited?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. So Pat's got a number of other songs, original songs, so I'm encouraging him to actually get them ready because I think there could be an album in this.
Oh, exciting.
Yep. So
very exciting. And do you think V12 will have a part to play in the rest
maybe,
of his songs?
Maybe not. Yeah. Depends.
See how it goes.
It's sort of really dependent on
the song, I guess.
Depends on the song, and really my role within V12 is sort of secretary, manager in a sense, logistics, and helping support Pat with the musical. He's got the musical expertise,
yes.
So it's just really helping motivate him. And
great. Oh, well, it's fantastic. I really can't stress strongly enough, people, if you missed the song before when I played it, jump onto YouTube and click into Pat Ehrlich's name, and there you'll see all on the same side will come up as a top link, and play it, send it to your friends, whatever. It's actually really, really damned good.
The other thing, too, is on the 19th of June, we're having the release of the song at the Mora Hall. We've got the Mora Hall booked.
Great.
We're raising money to pay for the recording that we have already done, and also some of the money will be donated to the NCA music program at the school. And so the NCA choir will be performing. Along with V12 and along with other invited guests, for a musical evening, which will culminate in the release of this, or the first playing of this song
live. Wow!
So,
great!
It's a good opportunity if people are interested. Yep. To...
So, how would people get tickets, Neil?
At this stage, they can be through me.
Okay. Are you going to maybe put some in Shop
probably,
the Rock
actually,
or something?
Yeah, they'll be at the Shop the Rock as well. Probably at this stage, just keep an eye on the newspaper.
Yes.
And
listen to the radio, because of course you'll be probably doing something for the community notice board.
Yeah.
A little ad for that.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And I'll make sure that I mention it on the arts show as well nearer the time.
Sure.
Which would be great.
Also, you know, I'm Island Chiropractic on the roundabout at Surfdale. 8986. If anyone really is struggling to find more information, they can always ring me.
Yeah, but there'll be plenty of stuff in the press nearer the time. Well, listen, Neil, thank you very much for coming in today. It's been an absolute pleasure. I've really, really enjoyed talking to you about the group, and I wish you guys absolutely all the best. I really do. I think it's got real potential, and I'll definitely be there on the 19th of June at the Mora Hall.
Mora Hall, yeah.
To support you guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Emma.
Okay.
You've been listening to the interviews from last Saturday's Island Life, our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. Island Life is brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 till 12. And the interviews are replayed on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock. They're also available as a download from our website, www.waihekiradio.org.nz. Island Life is brought to you by Island, the shop with Waiheke's most eclectic collection of local art, craft, giftware, clothing and bric-a-brac. Island, Ocean View Road, Onirola.